Mark Castell joins us. He's the Senior Farm Policy Analyst for Cornucopia Institute. First of all, let's get a little background on Cornucopia. What exactly is it and what is its mission?
We are technically a farm policy research group. We're chartered by the IRS as a tax-exempt charity to do research and educational work. And the mission we're best known for is we are probably the most aggressive organic industry watchdog, and prime constituency being family-scale farmers who have looked to organics as an alternative way to make a living and succeed on their farms. And secondarily, the consumer, the customer of the organic movement, who are willing to pay premiums for farming to a different standard.
Now, I've heard others say, in fact, you heard it in one of the recent interviews I did, where Cornucopia is pretty much out to get big scale organic farmers. Is that true, or is it just a matter of making sure everybody's on the same standards?
Right. What we like to say is that the organic standards are scale neutral. There's nothing that limits how many cows you can milk, how many acres you can farm, how many chickens you can have in a coop. At the same time, we believe that if the USDA adequately enforced the law, it would be scale limiting. We have some members that have 500 to 1,000 cows. They generally are not in the desert. They're not running CAFOs. They're not running confinement operations. They might technically be a CAFO for regulatory purposes. But I can tell you the largest farmer in Wisconsin has about 600 cows, the largest organic, certified organic dairy farmer. And he was a really committed grass-based farmer before he ever became certified and ever got a premium for his milk. So I don't think this is about the size of farming operations. I think the issues are not about corporate scale. They're about corporate ethics.
Let's take a look at one other thing and get it out of the way right away. Twice now, within the last few weeks, there have been stories in the Washington Post that are investigative-type stories exposing alleged corruption or problems with an organic issue. And at the same time, your organization has either filed complaints or had something to say about those. Let's clarify. Do you work with the Washington Post, or do you work independently?
We work with every news media outlet that contacts us. We make our information available, our research on our website. The first article you're referring to in the Washington Post was an investigative story that on multiple occasions visited Aurora Dairy. They're milking about 15,000 cows, in very arid conditions in Colorado. They manage about 22,000 head of animals. And we had previously filed legal complaints against Aurora, alleging just what the Washington Post found, and that that's they were not grazing. When we hired aerial photographers to fly over two of their farms in Texas, the USDA decided not to investigate because it was just, quote, one day, one snapshot in time. Of course, the USDA sanctioned annual inspections happen on just one day. The only difference is, unlike Cornucopia investigators, they made an appointment, the USDA sanctioned investigators or inspectors. And but Peter Wariski at the Washington Post and his colleagues visited the Aurora Dairy in Colorado on eight different days, plus used a drone on one occasion, plus used satellite imagery on another day. And they either had no cows out, at no time did they have more than 10% of their cows out. And quite frankly, that's just patently illegal. And that's enabling them to produce way more milk per cow at a lower cost of production than legitimate family farmers. So they are competitively injuring ethical farmers who are following the law, and we just won't stand for that.
Let's compare that to one of the things the Aurora spokesperson told me is that they are within the guidelines because their animals do get 30% of their intake dry matter from grazing, but Is that a problem? Is the standard the issue here, or is enforcement the issue? Where's the problem at?
Well, we lay the problem squarely at the feet of the USDA and the certifiers for not enforcing the law. And yes, 30% is the number. And some of these large dairies are claiming they're averaging to come up with that 30%. The law is clear that each animal, so if you're grazing your dry cows and your heifers and getting way over 30%, you can't have your high production cows getting zero or very low levels of pasture. And the fact of the matter is, based on the observations of cornucopia researchers and the journalists at the Washington Post, you have to actually have your cows out on grass in order to get that 30% dry to matter intake from grazing. And it's just obvious they're not doing that. They can say whatever they want. Their records will get scrutinized. We did file a formal legal complaint based on the Washington Post research. That's in addition to other complaints that we had filed. And we hope that they'll actually adjudicate them this time. When we filed the aerial photography along with the local Texas regulatory documents that showed they were they had up to 10, some of these CAFOs have up to 10 cows per acre, plus they're cutting hay off the same ground. You just can't get 30% in a cow under those conditions. In that case, the USDA didn't even investigate. Instead, they merely went to their certifiers, the certifiers who are paid by these giant dairies, and the certifiers all said they're absolutely operating within the law. But the USDA's role is not to certify farms. In essence, their accreditation program certifies the certifier. So they should have gone out and done their own investigation. And hopefully after this bombshell in the Washington Post, they actually will.
Is the enforcement and the way the rules are set up at USDA, is that where the real problem lies? Is that where the change has to take place?
Yes, there needs to be a big change at the USDA. This is a bipartisan problem. This was evident during the Bush administration. They were purposely monkey wrenching the organic program. The Obama administration absolutely perfected it. They hired bright people that knew organics and then kowtowed to the powerful industry lobbyists. And now we really hope that the Purdue-Trump administration will come in and clean house and protect the family-scale organic farmers. The Congress, when they passed the Organic Foods Production Act of 1990 as part of the 1990 Farm Bill, they charged the USDA with protecting ethical farmers from unfair competition and protecting consumers against fraud. And they have just been woefully inadequate in terms of executing those responsibilities.
Well, you mentioned there was another case, in fact, this one even more recently, where your group is filing a complaint because of non-organic corn and soy that's labeled as organic getting unloaded at U.S. ports. What's going on there?
Well, we've worked for about a decade with farmer-owned cooperatives here in the Midwest that produce organic grain, mostly for feed, but some human-grade varieties as well. And a decade or so ago, they decided that, it's becoming very hard to compete against the Chinese, South Americans, and Eastern Europeans because they were so severely being undercut on price. But our farmers, as you know, conventional and organic, are very efficient producers when it comes to cash crops. And there was really no reason, legitimate reason for this. And we have tried to cajole the USDA into doing in-depth investigations, and they've just absolutely failed to. They trust the foreign certification bodies. These folks are not as trustworthy as the U.S. certifiers. They're coming from countries like China or former Soviet bloc countries with endemic levels of commercial fraud. So whether it's intellectual property rights pirating or counterfeit consumer name goods products, these countries are not trustworthy. Why would we trust them with organics? The Chinese have had a history of adulterating dairy products. They adulterated pet food that killed dogs in the U.S. Why would we trust them with the organic food that we're feeding our children? But we were not successful. The USDA has never investigated a number of our complaints. And the investigation by the Washington Post, once again, the same reporter, Peter Wierischke, was very compelling. Strong documentary evidence of what we call organic alchemy, loading conventional grain onto a ship, and then when it comes off, it has all the paperwork to say it's organic. They're just screwing organic producers here in the United States. It's ruined their markets. There's some farmers who have bins filled on their farms and no market for that grain. And that's actually started shifting with the Washington Post article, Larry, because we're seeing our farmers getting a lot more inquiries from livestock producers and other grain handlers who have their names on the products, who want to make sure they're legitimately organic, whether it's eggs or meat or milk, and now they're seeking out the stores that we have in the U.S.
Many U.S. producers of many different things have to have the traceability back to the farm, but it appears that some of the foreign countries, if not most of them, don't give you the ability to trace that grain or that meat or whatever it is back to the farm to verify it's organic. Is that something that should be addressed in future trade negotiations?
Well, it is actually addressed. The foreign bodies have to be, whether it's a certifier or a farm, they have to be certified under the USDA standards and under their supervision. And that does require traceback. And the certifiers are supposed to scrutinize that. Whether that's being done or not is a question. But then when international grain handlers are shipping to this country, the USDA has not, at least in the past, required them to have that same documentation so that grain buyers here can be assured that they're really getting honest-to-goodness organic product. The Europeans are requiring much more scrutiny. The Europeans have banned some certifiers and some suppliers that we're welcoming into this country. We busted an outfit and helped bust an outfit in Canada called Jura Mills a couple of years ago. They were laundering conventional non-GMO grain as organic. They were caught red-handed. We worked with growers up in Canada. They were banned from organic commerce in their home province of Quebec. They lost their certification, but they were recertified by one of the leading certifiers in the U.S., Oregon Tilth, under the USDA. When we complained, they all said, well, we have no choice. We just have to certify them. The law says anybody who comes to us, we have to certify them. You know, the Europeans have decided that's not true. If there's a history of graft, some kind of illegality, they can ban those people from commerce. We need the USDA to take a more aggressive posture.
Isn't that kind of like saying that anyone can have a driver's license as long as they're 16?
Well, the USDA organic standards have certification just like those driver's exams. So just because you produce grain doesn't mean you can label it organic. You have to jump through a bunch of regulatory and inspection hoops. We asked for it as an industry. It's very rare for an industry to ask for very close regulatory scrutiny. And in this case, we asked for it, Congress gave it to us, and the USDA is not executing.
What is next for this particular grain situation? You've got a complaint filed, and I do have to ask you how you got it filed so quickly, but we'll get to that in a moment. But what is next for this filing?
I think the next is marketplace education. We're going to help livestock producers and grain handlers who have an interest in buying a U.S. product know where they can procure that in the United States. And we're going to help consumers know which brands, certified organic brands of eggs and meat and dairy products come from farms that exclusively either graze or exclusively buy their feed from U.S. farm producers. And so I like to say there is a higher authority in the United States than the USDA. There is a higher authority than the federal courts, and that's the consumer. Everybody wants their dollars, big and small. They get to choose. If they have the information, they can choose, and that's going to be our next educational task.
Is that something that could be done with labeling, as long as you don't get into trouble with USDA on labeling?
Absolutely. You know, that American flag is something we all believe in. People fought over that. It represents something meaningful in our country, and I hope more companies will display that on their packaging with the words 100% grown in the U.S. or grown and produced in the U.S. So we're going to hope to push the market in that direction, and then it kind of doesn't matter what the USDA does in the with the imports if the demand for it dries up. But we want them to enforce the law as well.
Of course, you know, there's still the possibility that somebody laundering this grain could label it improperly and it would still hit the market.
Well, it's possible, but that's where the USDA should be investigating. And again, the organic industry is unique. There are watchdogs like the Cornucopia Institute acting in the public interest. And, you know, this whole food production system and farming doesn't happen in secret. It happens in the open. And there are many stakeholders that passionately care about the integrity of organics. And some of our best tips come from employees, former employees, competitors, neighbors that really believe organic should be done right.
Anything you'd like to add today?
I don't think so, but thanks for asking. The legal complaints we filed, we actually had filed one in response to the dairy article in the Washington Post, and we worked very hard. We knew the article was going in the paper the next day. It was up on their website late afternoon, and we kind of worked nonstop overnight so that the day the paper hit the stands, we had filed our complaint. We didn't really know all the evidence until the paper was in there, despite the allegations from the public relations agent at Aurora Dairy. And the facts are what they are, and they're trying to do a great spin job telling the public that the milk they produce, which is available at Walmart and Target and Costco and a number of the big chains that's not available under their own name, is creditable. And we hope the USDA will investigate, and we hope that consumers will shop carefully weighing those facts.